Well, good morning. It is such a joy to be with you this morning. I am excited to be here for a number of reasons, not the least of which is excitement for Grace Covenant Church. I came several months ago and met with Pastor Chad, and he showed me the facility, showed me the area, took me to lunch down over here, something honey. What was it? Tupelo honey. Yeah, that's pretty good. If you hadn't tried that, I recommend it. But as I was with Chad and saw the area that God has planted your church, I'm excited for the opportunity that you have to make an impact on the south end of Charlotte. And I'm delighted to be here today to worship with you. I'm also delighted to be here, my friend, from 11 years ago next month. Did you guys realize that? 11 years now, next month, Pastor Chad and Ashley and my family have been friends and worked together in ministry, and I've known them to be a man and a woman and a family that seeks to honor God and to walk with Him in good and challenging times. And it's just a joy to know that you're in good hands as the Lord leads Him to lead you. It's a joy to be here. It's a joy for me to be here, to be able to look at this passage. Man, I couldn't believe Chad gave up this passage. In my mind, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21, is the heart of the Christian life. In so many ways, it teaches us what our life as a Christian is all about. Man, have I enjoyed just digging in and gleaning from this passage for myself. And I'm praying that God will do the same in your life. And I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for the time in God's Word this morning. How many of you have one of these? Everybody in the room have one of these. Now, Pastor Chad and a few other fellow workers have got me from a Windows base to a Mac base. I'm not a Mac militant, but that is an iPhone, and I do have an iPad, and I do have a Mac computer, but you may be some other Android or something, and my son-in-law is a Google phone. He just got Google phone, and he's all about it, telling us what it'll do. It'll do some crazy things, and he's all excited about it, but recently, this is a 6, I'm way old school, that's an ancient piece of equipment here, but my wife had a 6S too, and hers became broken. We had to replace it, and so we got her the 10S. The reason was the camera. She loves to take pictures. She loves to have, she has a blog post that she likes to do the pictures, and she was enamored with the portrait mode on a 10S camera, because the portrait mode on a 10S camera will let you focus on the main subject of the picture and blur everything else out. Have you seen that? Have you seen that ability? Well, in a lot of ways, that's what I want us to see this morning from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. It's like the portrait mode on iPhone 10S that brings into sharp focus the main subject and blurs everything else. You can tell that it's there, but you just can't really make it out, so it just kind of blends into the background so that your eye and your attention is on the main character. It's kind of like a magnifying glass. Pastor Chad said that I am a walk through the Bible guy. That means one of the genres of walk through the Bible is we try to make things mind easy. I thought about it. I don't want to do crazy hand signs that might not really go over well the first time that you meet me, but I really, as I thought about this passage, I thought about a magnifying glass being the idea of what Paul is saying he is doing in his Christian life, and thereby things that we as a Christian need to focus on. So a magnifying glass, as you know, man, if I put this thing on my notes, I can read them with my glasses. It's a wonderful thing, and it brings into focus where you are directing the magnifying glass. And so what I want you to think about is what Paul's point is in this passage is the magnifying glass, the area where we need to give all of our attention this morning. So with those two thoughts, I'm going to ask you to honor the Lord and His Word by standing with me, please. And let's read Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, going to the end of the chapter. This is the Apostle Paul. I'm reading from the ESV. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end, is destruction. Their God is their belly and their glory, and they glory in their shame. With minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, this is your word, and we stand before you as we ask that you would open your word to us. Lord, the Apostle Paul said he had not attained. He knows so much, knew so much more about walking with you and seeing you work thousands of miracles and see thousands of people saved and take the gospel to the known world. And he said he's not attained. And God, we stand before you humbled and in desperate need of you to open our minds and my mouth to the glorious riches of this passage. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. Lord, fill my mind with your thoughts and my mouth with your words. And will you let our thoughts be pleasing unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take that acrostic, the word focus, as we think about a magnifying glass, allowing us to focus our attention on a text, or if you're so inclined, focus the sunlight on a piece of paper and cause a fire. A magnifying glass is for focus. And that's the foundation, the acrostic that I'd like for us to make our five major movements through these passages. And so walk with me through this passage as we think about this word focus. First of all, the F in focus is for foundation. The driving thought of today is that there is always more to learn and in joy in our relationship with Jesus, but it takes focus to gain and maintain ground. The F is for foundation. Look at verse 12 with me. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Get this. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. See the foundation. The reason why Paul says I'm doing this, the reason I'm pressing on, is not so that he can attain something that he's not yet been privileged with. It's not so he can please God. It's not so that he can earn merit in favor of God. It's not so that he can work his way into a right relationship with God. It's nothing about his what he knows and what he does. You saw last week when Pastor Chad preached on Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, that he had a lot of credentials, but he didn't have Christ, right? He had a lot of stuff in his mind. He did a lot of stuff to try to please God, but he didn't have Jesus. And he let all of that go so that he could know Christ. So he's saying here in verse 12 that the foundation of going deeper with Jesus is that we have been, Christ Jesus has made us his own. That word is kata lambano. Lambano means seize or take. Kata intensifies it. It means take or receive. But the kata intensifies it and means to seize or to grasp. Do you see the foundation? You and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were of the world and under the devil and in the flesh and by nature a child of wrath. But God made us alive. He has seized us. If you're here and you are in Christ, you're working from the foundation of Jesus Christ coming and seizing you and capturing you. Paul's talking, of course, about the road to Damascus where he was knocked off his horse. And Jesus said, "Who are you? Why are you persecuting me?" And he brought him into the kingdom of God. And that's the foundation from which you and I progress in the Christian life. It has been such an encouraging truth for me to focus on the last few months, and that is all of my righteousness is as filthy rags to a holy God. Amen? You see, it's not about my getting up and having prayer time just right. It's not about my going through a devotion just right. It's not about my witnessing to everybody just right. It's not about what I do. Those things aren't why I'm pleasing to God. I'm pleasing to God because I'm in Christ. And you're pleasing to God because you're in Christ. Now, the things that we do because of that bring Him glory. And that's where our focus is. Not to strive to please, but to strive to bring Him glory and rest in the pleasure that He takes in Jesus, who we're in. It's a firm foundation. The O in focus stands for obstacle. Look at verse 12a. Not that I've already attained this or am already perfect. Paul is talking here, and Paul, as we've said in our prayer, is the one who God has used so mightily when he writes the book of Philippians. He had gone on missionary journeys. He has seen God do. He's writing to the church in Philippi where he was arrested and beaten, remember, and he was put in chains, and he's at midnight singing with Silas, and the earthquake comes, and the jailer comes in, and he saved and all of his household, and there's a church planted in Philippi. This is the Apostle Paul is writing to this church. They have seen him, and he's saying he's not yet attained what God has for him. Now we see, if Paul hasn't attained, then surely there's more for us, right? Do you know there's more? Are you hungry for more? I am so grateful that the last several months has been a time where God is just renewing this desire within me to know him more and to glorify him more. But I see the obstacle in my way. You see, we have three enemies, right? Our three enemies are, as John would say, the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? But if you notice, the world and the devil come at us most often through our flesh, right? And so what our greatest obstacle is between us and this deeper relationship, this joy that God has for us, that Paul says, I'm striving for more of Jesus. I'm striving for this relationship to be richer and deeper and more glorifying to him. The reason obstacle that keeps me from knowing it is me. It's my mind. It's my desires. It's my flesh that stands in my way. And I have to all the time ask the Lord to forgive me of those desires, those distractions, those things that keep me from hungering after him. You know, if you fill up on Twinkies, you're not real hungry for steak or veggies or the nutritious meal, right? You can fill up on junk food and yet be full for a little bit. You're not fueling your body, but your appetite is satisfied. My question for myself and for you is, how much hunger do you and I have to know him more? And I submit to me and you, if it's not a driving hunger for Jesus, there's an obstacle in the way. There's some thought, there's some desire, there's some sin that hinders the natural appetite for knowing more about Jesus. It may be pride. It may be lust. It may be envy. It may be jealousy. It may be unforgiveness. It may be some other sin or attraction or distraction that keeps us from this one thing, which is the call. And it's the heart of the passage. So the C in focus stands for call. Verse 12 says, not that I have received it or have been made perfect. He has not received it. Now, have you noticed that pronouns are real convenient for the person talking, but it's not really convenient for anybody else? We've got to figure out what it is in verse 12. I submit to you that the it in verse 12 refers back to verse 10, where Paul says, I long to know him. And verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I believe that it is this knowing Christ. Now, we know Paul knew Christ, right? He was a follower of Jesus. He walked with Jesus, but he's saying that the one thing that I do, job number one, is that I may know him. It's the call of God. It's the what. And when we think about this call, the focus of this passage is the call. And I want you to look with me at four ideas: the what of the call, the how of the call, the who of the call, and the hold of the call. The what, the how, the who, and the hold. The what is to know Him. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on. See the word one jot, the one thing that I do? It was His focus. It was His job one. He was giving Himself to knowing Jesus ever deeper in a personal love relationship. That's why Paul was here, and that's why God has left you and me in this world after we've come to know Him, is that we might progress in this deeper relationship with God. Now, we've got all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. The moment we're saved, we're baptized, we're united with the Holy Spirit, and we have all of Him we're going to get. The question is, as the old preacher said, does He have all of us? The more we give Him of us, the more we learn and understand and dig into this relationship. Look with me to verse 14. We're talking about the what of the call. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see that word press? That's a fascinating word. It's used 46 times in the New Testament. Only two that I found that was translated press. Do you know what 32 of the 46 times that word was used, you know how it was translated? Get this, it's crazy. It took me a while to focus and figure out why. It's used as persecute or persecuted. Isn't that interesting? That Paul uses the word, I press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He uses the word, the Greek word here, that is translated 32 times in other places as persecute or being persecuted. Get this, it's the word that Paul uses when he's referencing the time when he was lost, when he was trying to stamp out the church, and he was going from house to house, dragging people out, taking them into prison, killing some, imprisoning some. He was persecuting the early church prior to his coming to know Jesus. And that's the word that Paul uses in this passage as what he does to know Christ more. The way that it makes sense to me is that word is recklessly abandoned, relentlessly pursuing. You think about what Paul did in the early church in the days before he was saved. He was relentless in his pursuit to persecute the early church. He wouldn't let it go. Man, it was all while he was doing. He was giving himself to it. He was asking for letters to a city 100 miles from Jerusalem, Damascus. And he'd almost traveled 100 miles to do it some more in Damascus when Jesus met him. That's the intensity with which he went after the early church that he thought were blasphemers before he came to know Jesus. And that's the word he uses here for the call to know Christ more. He's saying that we as Christians are to relentlessly and recklessly abandon everything else and relentlessly pursue knowing Jesus more. That's the what of the call. Now, I believe every believer in this room today, there is something within us that resonates with that concept, right? We know that there's more to this relationship with Jesus than we're personally experiencing right now, right? We know that. We hunger for more of Jesus. We hunger to know Him more. We realize that there's way more that we have before us, and we know in our spirit that the call of God, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, is to know Jesus better. But if you're like me, often I'm frustrated, and often I'm confused with how do I do that? How do I come to know Jesus more? How do I effectively overcome my biggest obstacle, which is between these ears? It's me, it's my flesh, it's my sinful patterns, it's my desires. How do I overcome them? I know I need to. So look at the how. Look back in the verses. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I've already made it my own. But one thing I do, you see it, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Those two verbs are participial verbs. That means they are action that gives credence to the main verb of press on. And so what Paul is saying is, how I press on is by forgetting and by straining. And so the how of what we're talking about, the how of the call, is a two-step process. One is repent, or forgetting what's behind, and the other is straining to what's before. You see, we've got to forget and we've got to strain on. And so that's the two-step process of how we go on with Jesus. Think about what Paul's saying. He's already talking in this chapter about his life prior to Christ. He's talking about all the credentials that he had to let go of, that he had to count as loss, as manure, as nothing for him to know Christ. And so he's saying, I'm forgetting it. I'm putting it behind me. I'm not putting 1 ounce of trust in what I think and say and know, or what I've done in the past, or what I can do right now. I'm forgetting it. I'm putting it behind me. But you see, you can't forget it until God forgives it. But when God forgives it, we can't keep on with it. We've got to let it go. And the way we forget it, in a way that God forgives it, is through repentance and faith. I remember Dr. Adrian Rogers doing that 35 years ago at a message in Bellevue Baptist Church. He talked about Colossians, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Repentance and faith, right? That's how you walk in the Lord, through repentance and faith. The way you forget what's behind, the way you forget the flesh that's in the now, the way you move forward is through repentance and faith. Now remember what the word repentance means. It's metanoia, change of mind. It's coming to the Lord, begging the Lord to give you a new heart, a fresh desire to know Him above anything else, more than anything that I do for Him. I want to know Him, and I want to walk with Him and allow Him to glorify His name through me. I have to ask the Lord and beg the Lord to give me repentance. Now, Paul's talking about forgetting. We know he was converted, but I believe one of the greatest prayers that we need to pray over and over again is, Lord, give me a heart, a mind of repentance. Change my mind, because often I'm distracted. Often there's desires that come up that's not this kind of thing. And I'm asking the Lord to give me a new mind, a different mind, a mind that sees and focuses and is strengthened by His Word. We forget by repentance and faith. The word faith just simply means trust. It's trusting that the finished work of Christ on the cross is enough for you and for me. You see, how of faith of the call is repentance and faith. That's the first of the two. That's how you forget. So my question is, if there's not this desire to know Him more, then I ask the Lord to show you any way that you need to repent and believe. Any way you need to ask the Lord to show you what's hindering you from this unsatiable appetite to know Jesus more. You forget what's behind, anything that distracts you from the one thing, and you strain, see it, verse 13, forgetting what's behind and straining to what's forward. The word straining there is from the athletic realm. Paul is using language these people would have been very, very familiar with. And he's saying, just like a runner focuses, and just as a runner strains with every ounce of his being as he's striding towards the finish line, that's the idea of you and me. The call of God is to strain forward, not to reach this thing that we got to do to please God, but to remember that we've been seized by Jesus. We are His, and we're straining to know Him even more. Just as forgetting is a two-step process, repentance and faith, straining is a two-step process, and that is surrender and obedience. Surrender and obedience. Aren't you glad that every time you and I fail, and it's so often, and we bring that sin before the Lord and we confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That's our promise. But you see, that takes care of the sin, but it doesn't get us closer to knowing Jesus in the sense of growing and maturing. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Notice with me Titus chapter 2. Let me pick it up here. Titus, if you got your word, turn to Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. You see that? The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul in Titus is saying that, or the book of Titus is saying, excuse me, the book of Titus is saying that God has given us grace so that we can say no to sin, but yes to Him, to live righteous and holy. And that's the idea. We are to strain forward through surrender and obedience. Surrender and obedience. We make progress in this relationship with Jesus as we have repented and trusted to get those things behind us forgiven, but then we move on to surrender and obedience. When we surrender to the absolute lordship of Jesus and we obey, yes, Lord, then the Holy Spirit of God brings us deeper and deeper and deeper into our relationship with Him. That's how you strain forward, through surrender and obedience. Is there anything that you know that God's asking you to do, and yet to this moment, you've not yet surrendered and obeyed? Can I tell you, there won't be an appetite to know Jesus more in that state of rebellion. It's only when you say, okay, Lord, You know best, and You are loving, and You are almighty, and I come before You in absolute surrender, and I will obey. When you do that, watch out, because you've placed yourself in a position to know Jesus even deeper. That's the how. Notice the who. Look with me to verse 15. We're back in our passage, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Verse 15 is answering the question that most logically would come to most anybody's mind when they read this kind of intense pursuit of God that Paul talks about. Yeah, I get it. That's Paul, though. That's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's the one who's counted everything lost. That's the one who's left, and he's done miracles. He has these handkerchiefs, and then people are healed by it, and he's going everywhere in the world. Sure, he should live like that, but that's for the super saints. That's for the apostle Pauls of our life. And Paul said, uh-uh. Verse 15, let all who are mature think this way. It's normal Christianity for you and for me to ever desire a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's normal Christianity for our walk with Jesus to be the focal point of our life and everything else blur in comparison. Now, it's still there. We still got to go to work tomorrow. We still raise our families. We still do the things that we do. But this is for all of us who are mature. It's for the call. It's the call of God on your life. It's the call of God on my life. And then notice what he says. If anybody think otherwise, God will reveal that to him as well. Aren't you glad that that is there? I told you that I am so grateful for the work the Lord's doing in my life, and I give him all the praise and credit for this hunger to know him that's been renewed in me for a few months now. But you see, what it was is the Lord showed me I was not hungry, just like he's promised to do to anybody else. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the one who doesn't snuff out a smoking candle, or he doesn't break a bruised reed? He's so willing to come beside of us and breathe life into us. And I am so grateful that it's the Spirit of God, the goodness of God that we just sang about, that causes our heart to long after him even more. And so if you're here and you don't have this driving hunger for Christ, I understand. There's been many times in my 35-year walk with Jesus that I've ebbed and flowed, and the Spirit has whispered to me over and over again, Terry, you're distracted. Terry, you're focused on something else. And some of it was good stuff, ministry stuff. It's over and over, the Spirit of God gently whispering, you've left your first love. It's the call, and it's for everyone. I want you to notice the what, and the hold, and that is don't let go of ground. Verse 16. Look at verse 16 with me. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. You see, the Christian life is a struggle of backwards and forward and backwards, right? The Christian life is a strain to gain ground and fight the pull back for the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as Paul is saying, whatever you've attained, wherever you fought for the relationship that you have with Jesus, don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil pull you back. Forget it. Repent and believe. Trust and obey and move on. The you of focus is watch who you unite with. Watch who you have union with. Look at verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on the earthly things. If you and I are going to have this kind of hunger, we've got to be careful who we have union with. Now, we have to have friendships with the world, right? We've got to be in the world, not of it. We can't be salt and light if we're inside of these beautiful walls. We've got to be outside, but we can't have intimate union with someone who's got their eyes on the world. We've got to have union with brothers and sisters that make us more hungry to know the Lord. I'm listening to David Platt over several times now, and there's a knowledge that he has, an intimacy with Jesus that makes me hungry. It makes me hungrier. I know that I've got more. So unite yourself with brothers and sisters who will make you hungry. Watch for those people whose eyes are on the world, who are caught up in the world. Yes, witness to them. Yes, be friends with them, but don't have union of your spirit with them. And then the S is for Savior. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, there's a pronoun, it's talking about heaven, from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Isn't it fitting that the passage that, in my opinion, is one of the center points of all of Christendom starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus? He's the focus. He's the Savior. He's the foundation. And we're waiting for him. We're not necessarily waiting for a place. Now, we're citizens of heaven. But notice what he says, from it we await a Savior. We're not longing for a place, we're longing for a person, and his name is Jesus. And he'll transform our lowly bodies to make it like his glorious body. One day the battle will be over. One day there'll be no more yearning for fleshly things in me or you. One day Jesus will come back, and the better we know him then, the more we'll enjoy him for eternity. And that's what Paul is striving for. It's the focus of his life, and I encourage you to let it be the focus of your life, as I pray that it is the focus of mine. Will you pray with me, please? God, we stand before you in need of you to do your work in our hearts. Lord, it's only your Spirit that can cause us to hunger for you like this. And God, it's only your Spirit that can show us that we're not focused on you and maybe focused on something else. And so this morning, in this moment, I ask your Spirit to speak to each one of our hearts and show us where we are, remind us of what you've done and what you're calling us into, this relationship with you, and cause us to respond in the way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.